Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Who are this season's top 50 NHL players? Find out on the Locked On NHL Podcast. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, and Rachel Donner reveal the top 50 players as voted on by our local experts across the Locked On NHL network of podcasts. Subscribe to the Locked On NHL Podcast on YouTube and turn your notifications on so that you never miss an episode. So today's episode of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast is sort of an emergency episode, which we don't usually get at this stage of the off season. But when we have a big offer sheet, we have to talk about it. So Carolina Hurricanes have signed center Jesperi Kotkaniemi to a one-year, $6.1 million offer sheet. Well, actually, it is $6,100,015 with a $20 signing bonus. Now, the $15 seems to reference Kotkaniemi's uniform number, where the $20 signing bonus surely looks like a reference to Sebastian Aho's number, and the Montreal Canadiens rather infamously offered Aho a five-year contract on July 1st, 2019. And now that contract is currently nearly worth $42.3 million, just a bit under that. And it has signing bonuses of more than $38 million. And the overall value on this contract has increased actually a little bit because the NHL minimum salary has gone up. And so that has bumped up Aho's contract value a little bit in the last couple of seasons of the deal. But you can see by some of the clues there that that this may not be entirely a hockey decision by the Hurricanes, that there is at least a little bit of spite involved. But let's take a look at the player. And through three seasons, Jesperi Kotkaniemi has had some ups and downs. He was something of a surprise as the third overall pick in the 2018 draft. It was kind of late in the pre-draft process that it became possible for Kotkaniemi to go that high in the draft. You know, there was lots of talk of him being a top 10 pick, but I think it was like literally the day or two before that it started to seem possible that he might go as high as the top three. And so a little bit of a question mark when you take him that high when that wasn't necessarily the expectation all along. But then his rookie season was really great. 2018-2019, he had 34 points in 79 games. But more impressively, Kotkaniemi's defensive results were excellent, which is highly unusual for an 18-year-old, especially when you start playing him at center ice. So at that point, you had to be pretty happy with where things were going with Jesperi Kotkaniemi. But things have kind of gone south since then. In his second season, he did not have the same kind of defensive results and had just 8 points in 36 games for the Canadiens. Now, he had a rising star going into that sophomore season, and it pretty much crashed quickly. And as much as I like Claude Julien as a coach, I think there's a tendency for NHL coaches, especially experienced veteran guys who are worrying about contending, that they're not as concerned with what a player could be. And in some ways, they're not even concerned with what a player is. They're aware of what the player isn't. And when you're talking about a young player, in the case of Kotkaniemi, who's 19 years old, sure, his game is going to have flaws. But sometimes coaches come down too hard on that. And I don't know that that's exactly what happened in this case, but I think it is an issue, is that sometimes coaches clamp down on what a player isn't. And in the case of Kotkaniemi in his second season, there was a lot that he wasn't. And the thing was, after his rookie season, you could have looked at him and said, well, he should be a solid bet as a third line center with a reason for things to move up as time went on. But his second season, everything pretty much just fell apart. He ended up getting sent to the American Hockey League. Now, to his credit, Kotkaniemi went to the AHL and had 13 points in 12 games, a goal and 12 assists. And so that helped kind of get him back on track. And he rehabilitated some of his value by scoring 4 goals in 10 games in the playoff bubble that season. And so it's not as though everything was totally fine coming out of that. But, you know, maybe after what had to be a down season, there was at least a decent finish where he could be encouraged heading into Kotkaniemi's third season. So last season, he had 8 points in 10 games for Sampdoria in Finland before the NHL season got going, and ended up putting up 20 points in 56 games for the Habs. Now, played all 56 games, so that's a positive. had just 5 goals in 56 games, 20 points. Not great production, but it's not the end of the world, right? His defensive results were back on track. And yes, maybe you'd like better offensive numbers, but if the defensive results are on track, you could get back to envisioning him as a third line center who could eventually move up as the offense comes around. But as the playoffs started, Kokkaniemi was a healthy scratch for the first game, and this is after playing all 56 games during the regular season. And turned out he was inserted into the lineup, scored 3 goals in the series against the Maple Leafs, so making a real impact for Montreal. And ultimately, Kokkaniemi ended up with 8 points in 19 playoff games. He scored 4 goals in 7 games to kind of start his playoff run, and then ended up with 4 points with 1 goal and 3 assists in his last 12 games. Now, you can say, well, he faded as the playoffs went on. Sure, but the understanding is that as you get further into the playoffs, you're playing better teams. And so the fact that Kokkaniemi maybe didn't put up huge numbers against Vegas and Tampa Bay should not be some massive indictment. And I think overall, you have to consider his contributions and say, well, it was pretty positive finish given how the playoffs started with him in the press box. The fact that he contributed 5 goals in 19 games, there's some value to that. And so maybe there have been some bumps in the road here through his first 3 seasons, but overall, it's not bad. Not that bad, at least, for a 21-year-old center. And so there's some reason to be optimistic for the future. So when we come back, we'll take a look at where Kokkaniemi could fit in the Carolina lineup. And then after that, we'll see what happens to Montreal if they don't keep Jesperi Kokkaniemi. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, receive 100% welcome bonus. So be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. That is, make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. That's for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. That includes football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So we talked about where Jesperi Kokkaniemi is into his career at this point, and now what would it mean if he ends up going to Carolina? And initially, look at it and say, well, there aren't really great openings here. The Hurricanes have Sebastian Aho, Vincent Trocheck, Jordan Staal down the middle of the ice. It's not like there's some glaring opening in their top nine for Kokkaniemi to fill, but there's also long-term value here to consider. Trocheck is a pending unrestricted free agent. Jordan Staal has 2 years left on his deal. So if the Hurricanes are committed to Kokkaniemi in the long run, there probably is going to be room for him in their middle six. And immediately, Kokkaniemi could slide into a third-line role, playing with Jordan Staal and maybe Jesper Fast. And I don't know, maybe Staal stays in the middle and Kokkaniemi plays on the wing. But that would be a line that can probably drive play, provide solid defensive results, maybe not likely to score a whole lot, but that would still provide some value. And with the idea of the Hurricanes being committed long-term to Kokkaniemi does need to be discussed because there have been lots of reports that they tried to trade for him before making this offer sheet. They just could not come to an agreement with Canadians. Now, if Carolina was actually trying to trade for Kokkaniemi, presumably their interest is genuine and not merely spiteful. Now, I think there are some indications that there's spite involved, but it does appear that there is genuine interest if they were trying to trade him. Now, you can look at the contract terms, what the Hurricanes social media has been saying since, and that would make it clear that there's some element of revenge here, or at least they're enjoying the trolling aspect of doing so. But I don't think these things have to be mutually exclusive either. that you know they can be very interested in Cole Kanyemi as the player and envision a long-term future with him in Carolina, and at the same time still want to stick it to Montreal based on the Aho offer sheet from a few years ago. So the question I think that kind of hangs over all of this is what happens to Cole Kanyemi if he does not have a great season. Maybe he's injured. Maybe he just continues to struggle offensively. So what happens if he puts up 28 points next season? Are they going to give him a qualifying offer over $6 million? Does the team file for arbitration? Is there, and this has been suggested to me online, and it would probably make some sense, that there's a wink-wink deal for a long-term contract that has a lesser dollar value. Now, you would think the league would be wise to that and not want that to take place. But maybe because Cole Kanyemi was a restricted free agent, the Hurricanes, you know, were allowed to discuss contract terms and have a solid understanding with Cole Kanyemi what a long-term deal might look like without necessarily signing him to that deal. You know, the initial understanding can be, look, if we're going to sign this deal for $6.1 million, and that's going to be more than the Montreal Canadiens want to pay. But in the long term, we know that you know, this would be the price on a five-year deal or something of that nature. Now, if there isn't a long-term deal waiting for Cole Kanyemi, it's, I guess, theoretically possible he'd be a 22-year-old unrestricted free agent if he doesn't get a qualifying offer. And so what's the market for a 22-year-old who presumably would be coming off a mediocre season? I mean, if he has a really great season, then you would have to figure the Hurricanes are interested in keeping him around. But let's say he struggles for whatever reason, and the Hurricanes decide they want to cut loose. Yeah, well, then you've got a 22-year-old who was a third overall pick in his draft year, and surely there will be teams out there that think that they can, you know, turn Cole Kanyemi around and kind of realize some of that potential. So this is why it does make some sense that the Hurricanes probably have some kind of understanding around what a long-term deal would look like with Cole Kanyemi. It doesn't seem, you know, particularly efficient in terms of Carolina's cap use for this season, spending $6 million on a guy who is probably a third liner. But, you know, restricted free agents don't move on offer sheets for sensible deals. If it's a sensible deal, the original team will just sign it. It has to be over the top enough that a team like the Montreal Canadiens has to make a real decision on whether to match. And in this case, you know, the price is not appealing. They're not going to want to sign Cole Kanyemi to a $6.1 million deal where then they have to decide whether they're going to give him a qualifying offer. And if you're Montreal, maybe getting a first and third round pick is more appealing than paying that price. And so, you know, those picks are part of the reason to believe, too, that the Hurricanes have genuine interest in Cole Kanyemi, because throwing away first round picks just for spite does seem like a recipe for disaster. I'm not saying that it would never happen, but you would think there would be a few conversations about maybe we shouldn't be making an offer just out of spite that's going to cost us a first round pick. You know, that would seem to be cutting off your nose to spite your face sort of move. But if the Canadiens neglect to match, let's expect that Jesperi Kotkaniemi is going to be part of Carolina for more than just next season. And I think immediately he should be a competent third line center now. But if that offensive game grows, maybe he becomes a second line center who you can play in a shutdown role. And really, you know, that I think that's really where the peak is for Kotkaniemi, is that he's a guy who can contribute kind of some secondary offense and be a shutdown center. And there's definitely lots of value if that's what he becomes. So what does this mean for Montreal? We'll get to that when we come back. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have a bunch of delicious flavors. There is something for everyone here, and you can look at their wide variety, and it's coconut and cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. My favorite is the salted caramel, but there is such a great variety there that there is something for everyone. And so if you haven't tried those flavors, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar. They'll give you two of each. Sample them, decides which ones you like, and order more of those. Because not only do you have this great variety of flavors, they're covered in 100% chocolate, so it tastes like a great snack, and they're healthy too. Built Bars are loaded with protein, and they're low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. I mean, what more can you ask for? Amazing flavors and healthy. And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device is required and content varies by package. Okay, so we've covered what's happened in Jesperi Kotkaniemi's career, where he might fit with the Carolina Hurricanes, and now what would this mean to the Montreal Canadiens if they do not match the offer for Kotkaniemi? Well, let's start with what if they do match the offer for Jesperi Kotkaniemi? Well, if they do, Kotkaniemi is probably going to be their second line center because the Montreal Canadiens are awfully thin down the middle of the ice. And you know, under most circumstances, a team would not be in great peril if they lost a center who had 20 points in 56 games. But after Philippe Deneau signed as an unrestricted free agent in Los Angeles, the Canadiens' center depth chart looks perilously thin. They have Nick Suzuki. They have Jake Evans. They have Cedric Paquette. And you know, maybe Ryan Poehling. That's not really a group of centers that should be on a playoff team. And so if the Canadiens don't match the Kotkaniemi offer, they likely have to look into the trade market, and they would go into that having an extra first and third round pick available to deal. Admittedly, these are Carolina Hurricanes' first and third round picks, so that first round pick is most likely in the second half of the first round. So who's out there in the trade market? Well, I think the most popular name being brought up is Christian Dvorak. I mean, the Arizona Coyotes are sort of a carcass in the desert that teams are happy to pull apart. And Dvorak, it has sounded like he's been available for trade for most of this offseason. And, you know, maybe he is a decent fallback position here. And not that Dvorak is a star by any stretch, but he's got four more years left on a contract of $4.45 million. And you can envision a world in which Christian Dvorak fills in as your second line center, and that role goes just fine. That he's not... his offensive upside is probably not high enough to expect more, but he's defensively solid enough that does seem a reasonable spot. Now, you know, can the Canadiens, with a plethora of draft picks and maybe a prospect or something, work out a deal for Christian Dvorak? Yeah, they probably can do that, and so maybe that is the most likely scenario. Now, if you're a diehard Montreal fan with a few fever dreams, you might be thinking of Jack Eichel. You know, with Eichel changing his agent to Pat Brisson, and Pat Brisson is, you know, apparently very tight with Marc Bergevin. Well, this is all just setting up for Eichel to be a Montreal Canadian. And now, if Eichel gets traded to Montreal, he's not really a second line center, but you can move Nick Suzuki into the second line center role if that ultimately is the case. Question is, can Montreal put together a package that really appeals to Buffalo to make that kind of deal? And it's not easy because I think the expectation from Buffalo would have been that, all right, Nick Suzuki was the one that they would like to get from Montreal as sort of the centerpiece of a Jack Eichel deal. And presumably from Montreal's perspective, they would have liked the deal to be Jesperi Kotkaniemi as the centerpiece, and then you kind of build out from there. And so if you just took the first and third round pick that Montreal is receiving and you add it to whatever pieces might have been surrounding Kotkaniemi, is that enough to convince Buffalo? Probably not. You know, now does that mean that you're offering them, you know, three first round picks and a third round pick and you know, maybe a prospect and a winger like Arturi Lehkonen? I'm just somebody to fill out their lineup. I don't know that that's going to be the best offer. But I mean, there are several teams who probably still seem to be viably in the hunt for Jack Eichel, and they could probably beat that kind of offer from Montreal, where it's mostly based on draft picks. But maybe the New York Rangers aren't prepared to beat that offer. Maybe they don't want to trade a piece or two that the Buffalo Sabres really have their heart set on. And so I wouldn't rule out Montreal having a shot at Eichel, or at least taking that shot at Eichel. The question will be whether they have enough to offer, because it's one thing for Montreal to decide that yes, they're going to go after Jack Eichel. You also need to do it with a mind of what Buffalo's timeline is. Like, offering Buffalo forwards or anybody who's in their late 20s, well, that really doesn't offer them any value. And so you have to get guys who are either late teens, early 20s, who Buffalo has a chance to grow and build with for a while. And so does Montreal have enough of those guys to make it work? Well, I think that's probably up in the air. And so you can keep your fingers crossed if you're Montreal, and hope that the bounce back to losing Jesperi Kotkaniemi is that they can somehow swing a deal for Jack Eichel. But if that is how it turns out, I would have to say Montreal is living an extremely charmed life. So if it isn't Dvorak, if it isn't Eichel, who else is out there? Well, I suppose Evgeny Kuznetsov is a possibility. And Kuznetsov is coming off a tough season with Washington, and has four more years left with a $7.8 million cap hit, so he's not inexpensive. And if Montreal is going to go this route, you're sort of banking on Kuznetsov being able to bounce back and be able to provide consistent offense for your team. It's a bit of a bet there when you're taking on a guy who's like 29 years old with 4 years left on his contract. And I think, in general, yes, there probably is a deal to be made for Montreal to get a second line center. The questions might be how much you want to sacrifice from your future in order to get that center, because it's fair to wonder whether the Montreal Canadiens are going to be a playoff contender next season. They had a great run to the Cup final, but now you take away Philippe Deneau, their shutdown center who controlled play for them, and with an injured Shea Weber not likely to play. It could be a tough climb in the Atlantic Division. They're kind of back to the old division, and the old division includes Tampa Bay, Boston, Toronto, and Florida. Well, that's not an easy path to the postseason. And so if you're Montreal and you haven't upgraded down the middle of the ice, you're really going to be hard pressed to make the postseason. But what kind of move, is it worth making a big sacrifice of your future to get Dvorak or Kuznetsov? I mean, I think on one hand, it's easy to say yes, it's worth sacrificing your future for Eichel, because Eichel would then be a huge part of your future moving forward. I don't know that Dvorak or Kuznetsov quite have the same impact, and so this does become a rather complicated situation here for Montreal. For whatever complications may be involved, it's added some entertainment here to this stage of the offseason. So, credit to the Carolina Hurricanes for that. At the same time, there is a chilling effect that this could have on other teams making offers to restricted free agents. And I don't like that, because there's a really weird thing about the National Hockey League. When players are restricted free agents, that you aren't supposed to give them offer sheets. And that's just not the way restricted free agency works in other sports. Like in the NBA, there is no unwritten rule preventing teams from making offers. And so players move all the time when they're restricted free agents. Their own team maybe doesn't want to pay the luxury tax, so they're only going to go to a certain limit on a contract. And players just move, right? Because there's another team who realizes that there's value to be had. And so in an ideal world, I think for the NHL, there would be a market where restricted free agents, maybe not every restricted free agent up and moves every year, but there should be movement of those players. Because teams aren't making offers to restricted free agents, you're suppressing the value of these players in the marketplace in a way that goes even beyond what the collective bargaining agreement does. And I mean, the collective bargaining agreement is restrictive enough So I just there's something about the way business is done in the NHL where teams and general managers start to feel personally offended if a team offers a restricted free agent a contract, and that feeling is a problem. This is professional sports. Players and teams should be able to act accordingly, and that means it also means not being spiteful about it in the same way that Carolina is in making this offer this time. So, in any case, it's going to be fascinating to see how the Montreal Canadiens decide to handle this. My guess is that they don't match the offer sheet. Having seen it, it's going to come as a bit of an embarrassment, I would say, to the Canadiens that you're willing to take a first and a third round pick for the guy who was the third overall pick a couple of years ago. But I don't think they're as committed to Jesperi Kotkaniemi at this point and aren't going to tie themselves up financially to do it. And so they will look elsewhere to fill their second line center role. And it's entirely possible that say it's a trade for Christian Dvorak, that they're better next season with Dvorak in that role. And that's fine. But I also think that, if you're Montreal, that your ideal plan for building this team is not to lose Jesperi Kotkaniemi and have to try and kind of backfill after the fact. So there we go. There's our emergency podcast on the free agent offer sheet. I mean, we don't get them very often, and so may as well touch on that. We will continue doing the off-season reports. The Tampa Bay Lightning are up next. So that will do it for today. Also check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. We have actual games going on there. Find these podcasts and subscribe on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Betting on the National Hockey League doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.